All right, good morning. So, Misa told me this is the first Sunday morning Chavura on Ksuvis, right? Is that Adizman and Ksuvis? Unclear? Okay, so we are heading, going to jump into the Sveik-Sveika issue, just one small nakuda of it. Sveik-Sveika appears both, I figured I could like legitimately say that, oh, it's on Daf Beis, so like we're okay. There is that Tosfos on Daf Beis, where it already is touching on and already alludes to the issue that shows up that Daf Tes begins with. So the could save you that like technicality of let's go to Daf Tes. Right. So the question that they're dealing with over the course of Ksuvus is that needs to be the wedding needs to be on a particular night because the girl is going the potentially there's going to be an issue that he's not going to find Pesulah. He's going to say Pesach Pesulah Matzasi, as the Gemara says, and therefore he needs to go to Basin the next day. So the Gemara on Daf Tes actually. Like, I'm not sure I ever appreciated this before. Actually, it's a slightly different nekuda than the Mishnah is going with. On Daf Tes, it's Amar Rabbi Elazar, Omer Pesach Pesuch Matzasi, Neman La Osar Alav. Meaning the discussion on Daf Tes is she going to be usher to him? The discussion on the Mishnah is, I always was under sort of the impression of that it's more about the money. That is he going to make a taina that's going to diminish from that her ksuva was 200, now it's only going to be 100. But Daf Tes is specifically about that she's aser, that him making that claim means that he is now aser to her. That's the first major sugya that you would then do, is shavu d'nafshei chaticha d'isura, the fact that he's declaring her aser to him. What is the status of, why does his declaration make that establishment? But that's not the topic here. So fine. So he's going to aser to her. So the Gemara right away says, Vamai, why should she be aser to him? Sveik sveiku, that even if he claims, and even if he's right, Pesach Pesuach Matzasi, she is, she should still be mutter to him anyways, because of his fake sveik. I mean, how did that happen? Safik tachta, safik tachtav, safik ein tachtav. That maybe she was married to him at the time when she had via first, and maybe not. I think I am out, sorry. Safik tachta, that he doesn't know, right? She got married at some point later on. So maybe the fact that she doesn't have Basulim anymore, that took place. Yeah, she did have Bia with another guy, but it was before she got married to him. In which case, it's only a monetary issue. I mean, that goes back to the Mamanos issue, right? That's not our topic now. Even if you say that it took place while she was married to him, so maybe it was an Ones anyways, in which case she would still be Mutter to him anyways. Okay, so that's the Kasha on Rabbi Elazar, just to make that part clear. Okay, So the Gemara then responds by saying, well, we have two scenarios where it definitely will be an issue for Rebbe Eliezer. Lo tzricha be'ishas kohen. One is if she's a kohen anyways, because then you remove the suffix of ones or baratza, because if she was married to him already, even if it was ba'ones, she would then be usher to him. Or you could say be'ishas Yisrael, then no, it would still be an ishas Yisrael. She was already married from the time that she was 3 years old. In which case, if she doesn't have basulim, that would only be a result of her having bia while being married to him. So that removes the tachtav eno tachtav isur, and then the question is only whether it was baratzon beonis or baratzon. Okay, so that lays the groundwork for the issue here. I have to go through, you know, for years to just still be able to get this straight. Every time I still got to like work it through my head, hopefully we got that enough, right? The Gemara, right, if it's a really small population that this is really relevant to, that's what Tosfos on Daf Beis deals with. Tosfos, really? So if the only issue is going to be with these two people, so these two scenarios, so then why do we make this whole gezeira about being Wednesday night in order to go to Basin the next day? And that Tosfos gives their answers. A little plug, or maybe you'll be able to get the word out, and then other people will be able to show up or things like that, and we'll be able to figure out what those facts are, etc. Tosfos here asks, however, he says, but even in the case of the Kabbalah via Bekedushim Bechusim Yivaskim Elshanim, but even in that case where we say that that the Kedushim happened before three, so which case we know for sure that she was married to him the entire time, and therefore you're left with one suffix, suffix ba'one, suffix ba'ratzo, right? That's the only, that you have now removed one suffix, and now you're only whether it was an ones or was it baratzon. But Tosu says you would still be able to have a sveik sveik. If inti markasi yika sveik sveika, safik ba ones, safik baratzon, right? That's one question. Maybe she was ma'anis that on time. Inti salomar baratzon, even if you say that it was her ratzon involved, safik kishihi katana upitui katana onesu. That maybe she was still a katana at the time. Meaning now they're showing up, the nisun is taking place 10 years later. And now she doesn't have her besulim. Hey, why don't you have her besulim? This must have happened while we were married. But it could have happened before she was bat mitzvah. Why do we care that a marriage is if she was bat mitzvah? So we have a rule, pitui katana onesu, that even if she is seduced before the age of bat mitzvah, that's always going to be considered to be an ones. At least that's what Tosos is claiming right now. Because I'm reading about Val Yavamto, as we see. What do you mean?
We're saying the whole thing is about ones.
Yeah, right.
So really, there's no
suffix
at all. It's always
baratzon. It's
always ba'ones. I mean, sorry, it's always ba'ones.
It's going to be considered to be an ones.
Right.
Right. So you're saying, well, that's the same suffix then, right? That's Tosos's answer. V'yish lomar the shem ones chadu. Right. So Tosos responds by saying, no, but that's the same suffix, meaning either it's an ones because it was. Either it's an actual rape or it's a statutory rape, right? It's one of the two, but it's still rape, right? It's still going to be one oni. So that's how Tosos responds to that question. Well, it's the same oni, so therefore we're not going to invoke.
What is the English word? Statutory
rape. When the girls below the age of. Right. She told me she was older, right? That's the.
The government gets to say at 18 or at whatever.
16. The state of Pennsylvania. 16 in the state of Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Unless it's legalized by a judge. The youngest age in America came out in Pennsylvania is 14.
Okay. So katano pito katano onis. Fine. So that's how Tosos' response is saying. So you're going to ask the sveik sveika that well maybe that it happened anyways before she was the age of bat mitzvah and it happened baratzon. I mean that's the havamina happened baratzon, and even if it was baratzon, she would still be mutter to him because it's by definition because it's statutory rape instead of an actual onis. Which the Gemara responds by saying no, that's the same thing. All right, that's going to be this. Tosos' response by saying that's going to be the same thing. And then the work Tosos continues on a little bit. This question is we should invoke the fact that she's becheskas heter in order to give her an additional reason to stay with him. He says the onsa kala isle. He says well the ones would generally have a kala, so therefore we knock down that assumption somewhat. I mean, it's not such a great suffix to say oh maybe a rape happened, like you know, and it's not the SEPTA subway station, right? It's normal, right? It should be okay, right? We would have heard about it otherwise. So now, because that would have a kala, so therefore ratzon is the rov and miyud is the ones, so therefore it weighs against the chazaka, and therefore we're still going to keep it as a suffix. Ruba the chazaka, ruba adif, and we still but and ruba the chazaka, ruba adif, and the fact that rove would be that it would be baratzon, so that's going to still hold sway over the chazaka that she had that was mutter. So then then Tosus asks again, vim tomer im kein besafik sveika nami ti aser the suffik onis kamando leise dami. So then says, well, if that's the case, onis versus ratzon. Onis should also fall away, meaning you're saying it's a sveika. Well, maybe it's onis, maybe it's baratzon. It's like we talk about this as if it's a 50-50 chance. It's not a 50-50 chance, right? That's going to be a much less chance that it was onis rather than it was baratzon. Why does that not work against the chazaka, but it does work against the as a suffix for sveika? V'lo nisher elachad sveik sveika. Tachtav chad suffix tachtav. He says, well, because the rove of ratzon is not really a full rove. He says, not a full rove. I mean, there's a miyut, some kind of miyut, enough of a miyut out there to say that that the ones counts. So therefore, that's still considered to be one suffix in a sveik sveika cheshbon. Meaning, if it was the one suffix standing by itself, so then you're right. The rove of the woman, rove women would be pitoy or would be baratzon. But in a sveik sveika scenario, we're willing to sort of use a less a miut for one of the sfeikos. Okay, so that's Tosfos' conclusion. The two answers, the two facts that we want to sort of.
I think that itself is a chiddush. Not what I'm saying.
Like, Tosfos is a chiddush.
Yeah, this is what you just said. The last sentence.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. No. That is. Yeah. That. I mean, you don't have to say that. That's debated. Right.
Yeah.
That is debated.
So you're saying it's a matter of like a fact, like okay, so we'll take the miut as well.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So that shows up in the next topic. Right. So fine. So those are the two main things that we want to get that I wanted to show. Number one is this idea of ones chad shame ones chad who. Right. Even though you can make a cheshbon and say one, they're slightly different. So therefore, we could say we would say no chad who. And then the second thing is this idea of the unbalanced suffix. Okay, so one scenario we'll say where this Sfik Chadhu came up. Apologies to the Svichas Chaver people. I think I may have mentioned this there at some point. But when I was in college, I went to my grandparents lived in Forest Hills. I lived in Hillcrest. So once on Friday afternoons, I rode my bike to visit them at their house. It was the summer, one of these summer afternoons, Friday afternoons. I got there, 5:30 or something like that in the afternoon, and my grandparents were strict traditional conservative Jews, right? They were like Shomer Shabbos, but not quite. But like that was the environment that they lived in. So I showed up at their house, and they're having their Shabbos Suda, 5:30 in the afternoon. Shabbos doesn't start till like 8:00, right? So I'm not sure if it was before Plag or after Plag, but they had made Kiddush. The Chal had been cut, so in theory they had been Mekabel Shabbos already, right? So I sat with them for a little bit, and then I got on my bike to ride home. On the way home, I got one of these like massive thunderstorms, right? The whole, right, everything, whatever, and get home completely drenched. My mother says, "You better call Grandma." Grandma called, worried to see if you got home okay, right? So am I allowed to make that call? So they had an aide living with them at the time. So I said, well, maybe no one will pick up, right? No, we weren't learning Suvas. So still, I think, might have been learning Suvas anyway, I'm not sure. So maybe an aide will pick up. And even if an aide doesn't pick up, maybe, I didn't think about that it might be too early. Maybe the aide will pick up. No one will pick up, or the aide will pick up, right? And therefore, maybe it's a fake Svega. So I called, but otherwise my mother would have killed me. And and it was Mikulaf Nefesh, right. And she might have, right. So then, I don't remember what happened. I remember, I think my grandmother did pick up. Everything was okay, and we're fine. So told my chavrus, he said, what do you mean? That's a sfeik. That's really one suffix, right? The suffix is whether your grandparents will pick up or not, right? There's no additional suffix there. So I'm still not sure that he's 100%. Correct.
Isn't it triple six? Because there's a question of whether or not your parents, grandparents pick up, but there's also a question of whether or not when they accepted Shabbos before plug
I was just thinking that question. I mean, that was chad seiko, right? What is, you could throw in a couple more things. Remember, I asked Rav Schechter about it, and he said, he was like, phone. It's really, Shlomo Zalman says it's really only a minug not to make phone calls. It's okay. And then he's like, so what did you do? I told him my cheshbon. He said, yeah, it's probably fine. My uncle actually made the, not the plug issue. My uncle, made the point that if you're Mekabel Shabbos, but your Kabbalah Shabbos includes that, yeah, but I'm still going to do this and that and the other thing, that's not really Kabbalah Shabbos. Like, you can't say a Kabbalah Shabbos that's not full. So maybe that, even though they didn't make Kiddush, it doesn't necessarily mean that they were technically Mekabel Shabbos. I thought that was the most lumdish possibility. But anyways, that's one example of Ichadu. The second example that everybody fights about is one that comes up right now, or a week or two ago or so, in the kashrus world. That is the issue of, I shouldn't say kashrus world, really in the whole world, but it most affects kashrus people, and that is the issue of chadash and yashan, right? That and there's a famous sveika that is invoked by the Ramah. Everybody, so when you learn, I happened to come across in the last month or two, we actually covered it in my Shulchan Aruch shir that I give in my shul, we happened to come across Simon Reish Sadi Gimel Hilchos Chadash, and you learn through the sugya, so half the things you talk about are actually Hilchos Chadash, and then the other half of the things that you teach are, why do we don't do it bizanazah, right? This has been thought about for hundreds and hundreds of years, why the oilam does not seem to be makbid in yashan. So what is the issue? What is the halacha? The halacha is that only things that were planted before Pesach, okay? Not harvested before Pesach, planted before Pesach can be eaten once Pesach comes and goes. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, this was never, like, in Torah land, right, in Eretz Yisrael, etc., it's not really an issue, because as we know from keeping Yom Tovim and things like that, so Shavuos is the beginning of the harvest season, Sukkot is the end of the harvest season, and then you plant, and things grow over the winter. Nothing grows over the summer. Why does anything grow over the summer in Eretz Yisrael? So it doesn't rain, right? It doesn't rain the entire summer. So therefore, you can't grow any grain over the summer. So the only real cycle of crops were over the winter, in which case, there's not really much to talk about other than things that were harvested right before Pesach, which was not very many things, right? That's why the Omer was the only thing, right? The Omer was the first thing. In fact, the Omer was really supposed to be the first thing that was harvested. You weren't even really supposed to cut your crops before Pesach, even though the Gemara talks about that the day after Pesach, all of a sudden the shuks were filled with all this grain. That's not really the way it's supposed to work, right? It's really supposed to be that the Omer is the first thing that's cut, and that signals, okay, everybody start harvesting your things. You start harvesting your things for the next couple of weeks. You bring Bikurim Shavuos, and you finish the harvest season when you come to Sukkot. Okay? That's the way it's supposed to work in Eretz Yisrael. So Chodesh and Yashan, it's not really supposed to have this major impact on people's lives. However, once you got to Chutz La'aretz and it rains the entire year, so now there's two wheat growing seasons, right? There's two sessions. There's what they call summer wheat, so they call winter wheat. Winter wheat is the classic schedule, and summer wheat is they quickly harvest and then they replant again. There's differences in the wheat. This is just getting into the technical kashrus world, food world, which is also the kashrus world, and that is apparently summer wheat has a lot more gluten in it than the winter wheat, which is why summer wheat is generally used for like soft pretzels is going to use summer wheat, and other things that are going to be more drier are going to use the winter wheat. Okay, so that because there's because the gluten is what gives it like the smushy feeling. So. And by the way, if you buy all-purpose flour, that's a mixture of different types of wheat. They just want to mix it all together so that, because most non-experts don't really know the difference, don't really know how to treat them differently. It's only really professionals that are going to use solely summer wheat issues, which might be a little bit of a kula to use when it comes to Hilchos Chodesh and Yashan. Okay, so anyways, so Rish Tadi Gimel Sif Gimel in Yerodei, Shulchan Aruch tells us the following. Tavu Shalohi Shvisha Kodem Tessai Minisan Asura Ashayavo HaOmer Haba. Right, that if it wasn't planted, if it didn't take root before the 16th of Nisan, it's Asur until the next Omer comes. Also, the Halacha when it comes to Yashan, we Paskin, the American Kashrus organizations, Paskins, that you only need 3 days before Pesach. Okay, so it gives you a little bit more leeway to work as opposed to Eretz Yisrael things where you need either 2 weeks or you need a month. There's Orla and Shvius and things like that. You need more time beforehand. When it comes to this, you need only a couple of days. So Umikol Makom comes to the Ramah, Kol Stam Tavu Ashari La'achar Pesach. He comes to Ramah and says, but really, if you have unlabeled grain, it's going to be mutter after Pesach. Why? Says the Ramah, Mikoach Sveik Sveika. Safi ki nishana sha'avra, v'im tim salorim nishana zu, mikol makom dilma nishrasha kodama omer. He says, maybe it's a previous year's wheat. I mean, maybe it comes from a couple of years back, which used to be the assumption in America until the Russian Empire collapsed. But they used to have like massive storehouses of wheat, and it was first in, first out. First in, last out, right? Philo, right? First in, last out. So used to all the wheat you were getting, what? Last in, last out. There you go. Last in, last out. So used to all the wheat that you would get would really be a couple of years old. So that's why in America many were Mekelana for many years. They stopped really maintaining that when the Russian Empire fell. So La'achar Pesach b'koach sveik sveika. Safik hu mishana sha'avar. Maybe it's from previous years. And even if you say that it's this year, mikol makom dilma nishrasha kodama omer. Maybe it took fruit before the omer took place. What is that meaning? What? That if you're planting summer wheat, so when do you plant it? You plant it in the spring. What does it mean you're planting it in the spring? You're planting it either before or after Pesach, right? So the assumption of this sveik is that a lot of that wheat that's really growing over the summer, it really took root before Pesach anyways, in which case we don't have to worry about it. Now that was the assumption, Tur B'Shem HaRash. Now the Tur quotes his father as a Rush and saying, you know, my father one year decided to wonder about this and said, you know, this is like our assumption that, yeah, 50-50 chance that things are planted before Pesach or are planted after Pesach. But one year he'd noticed that, like, Pesach fell kind of early, and there was, like, still snow on the ground. And he said, I can't imagine anybody's really planting wheat right now, because there's still snow on the ground. The ground is still frozen. That can't be that people are really doing it. And he says that he wandered around and asked a couple of the farmers as to what they were doing with it. And they told him, yeah, you're right. We're not really planting much much this year. And I was like, all right, that's a real problem, because you're removing one of the sfeikos if that's the case. And even if you're only left with one suffik. He says, and even if maybe a couple farmers were able to get out there and plant a little bit, that's not going to lay much of a dent. As he comes here and says at the end, it needs to be a Pesach where there's a chance that people were actually planting before, which may not exist where you were living. Now, also keep in mind that in Europe, or time of the Rush, we are talking about people would buy their wheat locally. I mean, you bought it from the guy who was selling wheat in your town, who had a farm right outside of the town. Nowadays, where the whole world sort of comes together in one large wheat market, so maybe that helps things somewhat also. But that is the Rush Ha'ara. So therefore, the Rush gives and these psachim dvarim aniskarim yesh lahachmir online from the bottom here lahachmir v'lachush min hastam aval ein lahorus lachirim b'makom shirosh tiyasan v'achilasim miminim eli. He says, yeah, so in that case you really should be machmir, but you probably really shouldn't put up kol koris and pashkevilim all over the place warning people against eating the wheat, because mutr shay yishogin v'alyuhu mezidin. Better for it to be yishogin rather than to be mezid, which generally that would only apply to. What are you looking at me like that for?
Interesting response. Let him do it.
Yeah, let him eat cake, right? That's essentially what he's saying.
People wouldn't change their behavior even if they.
Yeah, right.
You were going to say typically only refers to what?
Really, inum afurish bakra. That's the technical. Yeah. But yes, I mean the case of mutashai shogun is actually about a deraisa. It's about Tosefes Yom Kippur.
The rest of
the
also?
So there's a bunch of other kulas that come into play that aren't in Shulchan Aruch, which is what do you do with that? I mean, the Bach is the most commonly, right? Whether it applies to, it might apply, most assume that it does apply, so Machlokas in the Gemara, whether it applies outside of Eretz Yisrael or not outside of Eretz Yisrael. We seem to pass them like the way that it does pass, that it does apply outside of Eretz Yisrael. The Bach comes along and says, yeah, it might be, but it doesn't necessarily apply to grain grown by Goyim on land owned by Goyim outside of Eretz Yisrael. So that's one of the big coolest. And everybody knows today that what Jew is going to be a wheat farmer outside of Eretz Yisrael? Which is not as crazy as it sounds. It's because Jews weren't allowed to own land, right? So they wouldn't be able to be wheat farmers outside of Eretz Yisrael, right? Which makes that a little bit more sense, that there wouldn't be too many farmers around. What?
Yiddish farm matzah. Yiddish farm matzah.
Farm.
My friend, a close friend of mine, is a farmer who grows his own wheat and makes some matzahs.
Ah, okay. Where?
In Goshen, New York.
Oh, okay. Not an Arizona wheat farmer.
Arizona, Goshen.
And okay. Okay, in Arizona, there's a whole mesa there about owning wheat with the Sakhmar Rav was into buying wheat from Arizona. That's a different shear. Why the best matzahs come from Arizona? You can find that why you're there. Okay, so the Trumas HaDeshen also makes these ha'aros. Trumas HaDeshen quotes this Ramah. In fact, right, he doesn't quote the Ramah, I'm sorry. He's quoting the Trumas HaDeshen. It talks about this Rush, and he has a similar thing. He uses the language of Sveik, sort of gets into our sugya a little more. He says, Avalim Rosh Dias, Shdias HaMedina Yayin, Ve'inim Tzrichim L'Sorim, V'Shibol Shu'al Rak L'Pamim L'Maychel. If most of the wine, most people drink wine, meaning it was very important, the wheat was very important. A, they need bread, B, they need beer, right? Not just, for Shalom Zachars. They needed, that was what they drank. There was nothing else to really drink, plus the water was all diseased and things like that. But Rak L'Pamim L'Maychel, U'shar Tfuos She'ena Meheiminim Ein Chadash Noagim Ba. And the other Tfuos, it only applies to the five grains, not the other grains. U'lkach Leis Dochik D'Tzibur B'Midi L'Afrishim Yisr Chadash Heich D'Lik Ela Chadash Sveik Hashem Shal Yishtakit Shem Shal Shana Zuh Mitzvah Limchos B'Hamonam L'Horos Lehem Lizer. It's not really necessary, which might get into why the Mutav Shai Shogin might apply. If not really necessary, when you'll be able to get by, maybe you should get up and make a big, put on all the listservs that you should be makbet on Chadosh this year and be careful, etc. like that. Right? The Sveik Sveika Inkam. Right? The name of Safek Shel Ishtaked, V'imtiv Zolom Shel Shonazu, Shematvu Azu Min Hamiyut Shenizru Kodom Yom Hanaf. He says, here, you're going to have to say that maybe it was from previous years, and even if it's from this year, it's from the miyut that was planted before Sfira, or for Pesach. Umuflag miyom hanaf, the kevan de miutahu, lo avdin minei sveik sveika. And if it's only a miut that was planted before Pesach, how could you go ahead and make a sveik sveika? The miuta legabe ruba kamandalesa. Because miut legabe rov is like it doesn't exist. You pull it away. Kedisa behedya betosefta, b'shmaisa de Pesach basuach, in the beginning of Parakhtes, hanir l'fi anayas daisi katavti. Right, that's based on what I'm saying. So, wait a second. What? That's not exactly what Tosfos said. Tosfos didn't say that. Tosfos said the other way, that that a miut does work in the context of a sveik sveika. So either he's referring to the idea that it was that that's when it's a miut, when it's a significant miut. But this is not a significant. This is a much smaller miut, so therefore it's not going to be able to work. Or he means that in Tosfos it was talking about that there was a chazaka, if that's the case. But here he's not referring to a. But there might not be a chazaka at play here. But meanwhile, back to the Rush's idea, like this whole sveik sveika, the whole thing is very suspect, right? Because it sounds like it's one suffik, right? A suffik, whether it's from previous years, and even if it's from this year, maybe it was planted before Pesach. Wait a second. What you really also, that's even worse sveik sveika than the one at my grandmother's house, right? Here, there's mamish one suffik, right? What's the suffik? The one suffik is, was it planted before Pesach or not, right? That's the only suffik, right? So you want to say, well, maybe it was planted before, a little bit before Pesach, and even if it was planted, even if we're not sure about that, maybe it was planted way, way, way before Pesach. Or the other way, it was planted way, way before Pesach, or even if it wasn't, maybe it was planted a little bit before Pesach. Yeah, but that's still, you're still dealing with only one suffix. So people really scratch their heads on it. Through this, it was found in Hilchos Chodesh. I'm sure out there's really good answers for it. I know of one very good answer. I just have no idea where the Sefer is, what the Sefer is. If maybe you could help me. In the Trumas Edeshen that I have, it says in the footnote, where are you? Tshuva number Rish, Tzadi Gimel. So the Shumas Edeshin here says, I'm looking the wrong, Kuf Tzadi Aleph. Oh, right, that's why this doesn't make sense. Okay. Kuf Tzadi Aleph. Yeah, here, Dini Chodesh, quotes in the footnote. Right, of course, Rabbi Kiva Eger on the page of Shulchan Aruch asks this question. It's only one suffix. And he says, Gfar Hiksha Marid Al Ghazi on this. Marid Al Ghazi, on the one he's quoting, is about 8 pages long, a very small print. So I couldn't find there. And there he only asked the question. It says, Ayin Masha Kasa Besifrei Shin Ayin Shin Via Shafti Hativ Al Pi Divir Rabbeinu Atzmo. I have no idea. I don't know who that is. Shin Ayin Shin.
This
is a two volume. This is only volume one. They have a nicer one. They have a bigger one, a newer one. Okay, so I don't know if that would be Shin Ayin Shin. I quote the Sheshvaitza separately. All right. Anyways, so I'm sure there's like pretty more lumdisha answers on this. I'll give you one possibility, which is an important idea to have heading into that. Okay, that could be that this whole idea of a sveik sveika, a suffik chadhu, might not really be a problem, according to the Rambam. I mean, the Rush, the Tosos, like, makes that assumption. Anybody who learns through Daf Tess in Yeshiva, so they learn the Tosos, say, must be, a Tosos, that's a pretty legitimate thing. The Shem Ones Chadhu, it's only one, right? So there's a Rambam that sort of talks around this issue and perhaps comes to a different conclusion. Okay, so Rambam tells us, and this is a little bit of a chazar on some of the things we came up over the course of Yevamos. Rambam paskens in Hilchos Sota. Katan sheisia via imzina beretzona nesra abayla l'fichach makanin la. That a kat ktana, let's say a girl, right, an 8-year-old girl, so she now has, she now secludes herself with another man. Or forget that, zinas, she actually had znus with another man, beretzona. Says the Rambam, Nesara al Baila. She's now going to be usher back to her Baal. Seems to go against our assumption of our Gemara, but maybe not. I mean, the premise of Tosfos' question is that, well, if she was below bat mitzvah, so then pitui ketana onesu, and therefore she should be mutter. Meaning, regardless of how we pass in the sveik sveika, that fact should still be okay. Rambam says, no, it's not true. right? She's going to be usher to her baal if it was baratzon. Lo lashkosa el apostle miksuva kmo she'emarnu. Not necessarily she's going to drink, but she's not going to drink. El l'apostle, but she's going to, we're going to passel her from her ksuva, and she's not going to be able to marry her. But if she can do me in, so then fine. That's a different issue. The Ravid gets upset with this. Amar v'alo amru, but don't we paskin in Yevamos pitui ketana onesu? Right? Then the Gemara in Yevamos make that as an assumption that it would be considered to be an ones if she's below the age of bat mitzvah. V'od hasra l'ktan and there's no hasra. Maybe that all that should fact mean, and therefore would be considered to be a shogeg. So the Ravid is not happy with this. In Shulchan Aruch we paskin yesh omrim v'yesh omrim. I forgot if it's a yesh v'yesh. I forgot what that means that he passed. I think that means he's passing like the first one, which means this is the first one in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, I think, is passing like this Rambam. Next, Isuri Bia, similar thing. Haba al ketana eshes gadol. The one who is boel he a ketana who is an eshes gadol. Im kitcha avia, the father was already mekadisher. Harei ze b'chenek. The guy, paramour, right? He is going to be chayev chenek, right? He's having an affair with a woman who is already married. V'hi petura, but she's going to be pater miklum. V'nesra abayla, but she's going to be usher labayla, right? So that's the way that the Rambam is paskins in this case. A woman, right, below, girl, right, below, between the eight, below, before the age of bat mitzvah, still it counts as beratzon, still it counts as something that she, as something she wants to do, and therefore she would still be usher labal. She would still be usher back to her husband because she had bia baratzim. Now, Kovi Taros in Yevamos land, he talks, hey, so how could that be? I mean, how could a woman have, it's on the back of the page, how could she be considered to have ratzon? And he says she could, meaning she could have ratzon, she doesn't necessarily have das, and they're considered to be different things, and fine. Comes the Magen Mishnah and says, where'd the Rambam get this from? He says, V'emeshe perek arba achin, right from our Gemara, the Gemara in Yevamos, I'm sorry, seems to say that that's a thing, right? He gives the Gemara in Yevamos where the Gemara brings up the idea pitu ketana onesu, and the Gemara just says it there, and nobody argues and says that it's that would not be considered to be an ones. But comes the Magen Mishnah and says hachadai mistaber. It says the ketani im hayu ketanos she'enan ruuyos leilid machsirin oso miyad. V'even mezid mishari v'dachu v'dachu halo kasha. He said, that's the Gemara, sorry, Pitoi Ketan Onesu, V'onesu Yisrael Mishra Sharia. Because the Gemara there says in Yevamos, in the context of the Pitoi Ketan Onesu, I don't have less time to get into that that Gemara. But where does it, where does he get it from? So on the back of the page, he says, perhaps the Raya, how did I leave this? That maybe our Raya comes, the second line from the top, Shalom Parakamad, he says, the only thing I could find, the Magen Mishnah, the only thing I could find as a proof or underlying assumption for this Rambam is the Gemara Meseches Ksuvah, Staf Ches, Staf Tes, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Omer Pitui Ketana Matzasi, he just goes on and quotes the entire Gemara, I skip that, V'sovar Rabbeinu Shehu Afilu Adayin Hi Ketana, so what is the Rambam assuming? That even if she was still a Ketana, V'afilu Tim Salomar Digadolahi, Hashta Akasi Ika Lamashmi, so the Rambam must be assuming that even if she's still considered to be a katana, and even if you want to say, and even if you say she was a gedola, if she was a ketana shezinsa baratzon in a seres abayla, afilu kibel ba avia kedushin. If the father accepted kedushin, pechus mi bashal shon viomechad, akasi tarte svekanin. It is still going to be two svekos. Safik zinsa ketana, safik gedola. Right? He's asking the same question that Tosfos asks. He says, even if you say that the assumption should be before, it should still be a it should still have a safe saking. Tibasal gedola safik baone safik baratzon. So elalav meaning it shouldn't be whether he accepted kedushin before 3. It should be whether he accepted kedushin before the age of 12. Right? What's the status of what she is between the age of 3 and 12? Elalav shma mina says the Rambam shafilu ketana shezinsa baratzon neseres abayla. Rather, it must be that even a ketana shezinsa baratzon she would still be usher to her husband anyways. Right? Tosfos answers the question by saying, oh, that's the same as an ones. Rambam answers the question by saying, no. Even if she's below the age of 3 or 12, it doesn't matter, right? Even if you want to say pitu ketana onesu, it doesn't matter. She's still going to be usher to her husband. She's still going to lose her ksuba. Umishum hachi leka el achada sveika. And therefore, you're left with only one sveika, one safek, And that is the Rambam Shita. The Kesef Mishnah in that this is the Rambam. This is on Mag Mishnah Isuri Bia. The Kesef Mishnah is on right. They don't always not on the same Rambams. So the Kesef Mishnah in Hilchos Sota quotes the Mag Mishnah and gives him a Yashakach. Says, yeah, I think that's it. Right, which might be why the Kesef Mishnah was why Shulchan Aruch was willing to paskin like this Rambam. It seems to go against most Rishonim that we're used to thinking about it.
He says maybe
for some things, but when it comes to the Iker things we're talking about, he rejects it. What does he do with the Gemara Maseches Sota?
And his Makor is
the Gemara Ksuba. Right, so the Magen Mishnah suggests his Makor is Arsugya. Now, what about the Gemara Yavamas that seems to say it, and nobody argues there? So the Magen Mishnah say he's pushing that away. Meaning there, the Gemara, in the context of that Gemara, it's not like it's one of these like answers that are given, not necessarily being given as a psak. Rav Yashiv in the Aros also points out with regards to this Rami, he says maybe the Makor, probably a storing, of course, actually talking about this then, is Yerushalmi, that was the Gemara on Daf Test, talks about the Maisa with Davin and Batsheva and as one of the Makoros for this. And the Yerushalmi says that that Batsheva was a Ketana at the time. So therefore the same thing. How could she bring brought out Rai? I mean, that would also be considered to be Pitoy and Ones, etc. So where it does want to talk about maybe she was Ones because he was the king, etc. Power imbalance. But anyways, that's Rav Yashiv suggests as another source for this Rambam. The one thing that sort of kept me up and I wanted to come up with an answer is how this fits in with the Rambam's general approach to Sveik Sveika. Okay, so we'll get to that at that point. Right, Sveik Sveika is based on the Rambam holds Sufik Doraisa Luchumra is only Din Durabanan. So therefore he's dealing with more, so therefore a Sufik Durabanan is, so Sveik Sveika is a Sufik Ana Durabanan. Right, that's the Rambam's way of thinking about it, while other Rishonim hold that no, Sufik Doraisa Luchumra is a Din Doraisa, and therefore you need other Lamda. So I was trying to figure out if you could prove that this fits within the Rambam's general approach to Sveik Sveika. I wasn't really able to come with anything solid on that, but we're still ahead of the game, so we have a couple daft to figure out what the Rambam's real sheath is on this.
The part by the end of this question is that since the Rambam has another answer to Tosos' question, therefore the Rambam doesn't have to hold of this Chad Sveika thing.
Right.
Okay, but still a very logical answer. That's not really explained. Like, it's very logical. It's very, very logical that if two things sound like two sefikas, but they're really one sefik, it should only be one
subject. Right. So
we didn't explain
how. So the truth is, the Yashin issue, I think it is a little bit more of a Taruvis issue than like you, when you first look at it from Ramah, you look like, oh, it's just a weird thing. I could simply explain by saying, because you're talking about different pots of grain, you're talking about different years, right? So it's either from a previous year, or even if it's from this year, right? It's a suffix when in this year. So it's a little bit of a better, it's not just, oh, did it happen before Pesach or not, or did it happen way before Pesach? It's a little bit more lumdish than that. So that perhaps is what the Rama is relying on, and that's his shock.
Shame on his card, like the other Sadat's role. So shame on his card, who would still make it a rogue, but maybe a point of the Rambam with
Right, if you could, he would be more easy. He'd more easily say there's more to push you over to the suffix side. Right. Where you could say.